Rudolph, do you think I could eject some of your infection into this keyboard in front of me? It would make a child very happy.
Sure, I have nothing else to live for.
Hi, I'm Nick Wolfhard. I'm a voice actor, and I've been inside, and I just did an hour run, and I had a cheeseburger with some onion rings and fries, and I feel like I've ruined the entire process. How are you all doing?
I'm doing excellent. I can't say I had a cheeseburger, but I'm doing good.
I did notice that tweet that you made about that, by the way. I was thinking, like, you're going on an hour-long run after cramming a cheeseburger and then going straight into like an hour and a half podcast. That's something.
No, it was an hour run with no walking and then the cheeseburger and then the podcast.
Okay.
People are telling me it actually evens out. Apparently carbs are actually really good after like running for that long, but I don't know. I feel good.
That's great.
I always think of that episode of The Office, not to be that, you know, that person who brings up an Office reference just casually, but
I still have to watch it. I heard it's really good.
Oh, really? You've never seen The Office?
I know, yeah. My brother's told me to watch it, and I really need to watch it.
The Office is like one of those shows that, like, it's not even, it's brain food, right? It's like, yeah. I used to put that show on like to go to sleep because I've seen it so many times, you know? It's just like a good casual vanilla show to just watch. Doesn't take a lot of brain power to watch it. Highly recommend. It's a good show. I like it.
I will.
I think you might be the last person in North America to have not watched that. It's
I think so.
You got to get on that,
so.
Bud.
Yeah.
I know. Everyone tells me I need to watch it. I'll get on that. I promise. I mean, we're all in quarantine right now in BC until I think 2 days from now, but I mean, it's good to just stay inside regardless. So I'll give it a shot and I'm sure I'll like it.
I'm sure you will. I would say like the first episode kind of sucks, but then after that, it's pretty good.
Okay.
So it's been a minute, man. Last time you were on the podcast, I think was in December 2019. I think it was.
Was it? Oh, wow. So about a literal year ago.
Yeah. And I remember on the last episode, you had mentioned that like you really wanted to talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and I hadn't seen it myself. So we said that we would meet up again in 6 months to talk about it. And it's been a little bit longer than that, but, you know.
How much have you seen?
Okay, so I saw the entirety of Phantom Blood, which I'd like to discuss each of these individually, if you would enjoy that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I watched all of Battle Tendency.
In Phantom Blood, how did Dyer talk when he was just a head sitting in ice?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Wait. Do you mean when Jonathan like froze the lake and then Straits was, wait, which one was, which, do you mean Streisel or Straits? Which one was?
No, we're talking about Dyer. You know, that guy with like the Duke Nukem haircut that like gets frozen by Dio.
Oh God. It's been a minute since I've seen Phantom Blood.
Okay.
Wait. Yes, I do. Doesn't he like freeze him from the inside out? Like he freezes his veins.
Yeah. And he becomes just a head, but he still talks.
I don't know, dude. It's JoJo. Go with it. It's bizarre for a reason.
Yeah.
Also, another one of my favorite things is when like Dio like sticks his fingers into Jonathan's jugular, but like his veins are like on the outside. I love that.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I just watched it, and then okay, so I finished Battle Tendency, and then I got like halfway through Stardust Crusaders, and.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have like a lot of thoughts swimming around in my head right now, but like, where should
we? It's hard to get used to, I know, after Hamon. You'll get used to it, though. I know. No. I felt the same way.
I hear that stands are basically like the permanent replacement.
They are.
Do you prefer Hamon or Ripple?
Hamon.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Because I don't know. That's just how it's always been pronounced in Japanese. I've just always called it Hamon.
Yeah.
I think they call it Hamon in, I don't know. They call it Hamon in a lot of places.
Well, I mean,
I think in the English dub they call it the ripple, right?
No,
I think they call it the hamon sometimes too.
At least the one I watched on Netflix.
Oh yeah, well then hamon. Yeah, hamon then. Yeah, yeah. I prefer hamon. In Japanese, it's also hamon.
Yeah, yeah.
In part 7, there's something called the spin.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is basically hamon. Part 7 is cool. Part 7, I've only been like halfway, I've only read it like halfway through and I still want to finish it, but because it's probably my favorite part, like outside of part 4, but we'll get to that later. Part 7 is cool because it's basically stands mixed with hamon.
Oh,
which is really interesting.
I like that idea. Oh. That sounds cool.
Yeah. But the thing, I mean, the thing is like only like two of the characters can, yes, it's cool because one of the main, JoJo of part 7, he basically mixes the spin and his stand together, so it's not really like hamon, it's very much it, I mean it's like you spit, you know, you can spin anything. It's like hamon where you can punch anything and it'll like react to it in like different ways. The spin is basically the same thing, except instead of that everything reacts to, you know, well, spinning.
So before we get into that, by the way, I just wanted to ask if you've had any like interesting new developments in like your life or your career, because it's been like a whole year.
Yeah, actually. So Last Kids on Earth has been going well. We just released book 3. The Last Kids on Earth video game is coming out next year. I was in Smiling Friends, which was a pilot by Zach Hadle and Michael Cusack. I'm sure at some point you could probably get Michael or Zach on the podcast. Michael actually also just released his own show, Yellow Crystal Fantasy. Check that out if you haven't. And I'm also right now just waiting to record a new series called New Gen that I'm doing with my brother, as well as Lena Headey, Luke Wilson, and Anya Chalatra, who is from The Witcher. Uh-huh. And the cast is I'm like super excited to work on it.
Yeah,
I've shared some promo art on my Instagram if you want to take a look. But yeah, and then I'm recording something else that I can't talk about yet. Still, that's still in the works. And on top of that, something else as well. And then I'm just always auditioning, basically. I got an agent in Los Angeles back in July.
Oh.
I'm now with Dean Panero Talent, who is awesome. I met him a couple years ago, and he was always believing in me, so he was the first dude I went to, and he was like, he immediately picked me up. I've been with him, and I've been getting tons of callbacks and auditions, and that's where I'm at right now.
So I kind of wanted to also talk about something, which is, like, this show has kind of shifted over the last year to more talking about the content creation process itself. Like, we're trying to have deeper conversations with the creators that we have on about just their lives, their processes, and just kind of how things work behind the scenes. That's been, like, a huge focus. And one thing that I think would be interesting to talk with you about is the fact that your job as a voice actor probably hasn't been hit too hard by COVID.
Yes and no. Yeah. So in Los Angeles, for example, production hasn't slowed down too much on animated stuff.
Right.
In Vancouver, it has hardcore. It's starting to speed up again, though. But there was like a half a year period where everything just slowed down here.
Yeah, that was kind of the case for everyone. But it's just interesting because like maybe as a voice actor, it's like, at least you never really have to worry about going into work. Like, you can just...
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if I do go in, I've gone in before, but it'll be, like, super, super, you know, safe, and, you know, they'll wipe everything down, and social distancing with, like, masks when I'm, you know, I go into the room, and then they'll wipe everything after that. Part of that also is, Part of that is why I actually upgraded my microphone. I'm using we were talking about in the pre-show, but yeah. I upgraded from a Audio Technica AT2050, I think I was using, to a Neumann TLM 103, which is pretty much industry standard. This is the model that's usually used. If it's not this, it's usually, I think, the A40, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
Which is the step up from this.
By the way, it's actually Neumann, but I'll forgive that because you never hear it out loud.
Neumann. So, okay, yeah. Neumann. Sorry, Neumann. But yeah, I'm really enjoying this mic. As soon as I hooked it up, I could immediately hear the difference. I remember I tried speaking into it as a test, and I literally said, "Whoa!"
Yeah, the Neumanns are serious business. Like, if people don't know what we're talking about in terms of quality, yeah, if you get on some of the pricier, higher end Neumanns, like you're set for like the indefinite future in terms of quality.
It's awesome. You just got to make sure to take care of it.
Yeah,
I got to put some sandbags down on my my microphone stand here.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure it doesn't fall over, because I have this as well as this foam shield currently that surrounds it, so that nothing really reverbs.
Right.
And it is heavy. So
yeah. So
do you think Mike is short for Michael?
Stupid. All right. Thank you, Doplex, for your contribution. All right. So okay. Just to kind of stick on the topic for a little bit, because I'm kind of curious, has the pandemic affected your work in any other interesting ways?
Well, I mean, press, I guess, is one of them. Like, I did a ton of press in person, mm-hmm. I guess, I used to do. When it's not on the phone, I usually did it in person. Now I usually just do it over webcam, which is honestly way easier.
Yeah.
And it's not even just the voiceover industry, but like the animation industry too. Like, I have a lot of animator friends, and a lot of them have been working from home. Atomic Cartoons, the people who make Last Kids on Earth, they work from home. And I'm curious to see how that will pan out, whether or not that will, you know, I don't know if it'll be the norm in the future, but I'm curious to see if that will continue, because as it's proved, people have been able to, you know, complete their work and all that. And for example, I recorded Smiling Friends in my upstairs room, and that wasn't even when the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. That was last year. So, and that was not even on this microphone. So they broadcasted it. It sounded great. So it's other than that, it's starting to speed up again in Vancouver. But there was a period where it definitely slowed down, and it affected work for pretty much everyone. You go on any Vancouver voice actor's IMDb, and you look at their credits from the past couple years, you will most likely see a significant decline because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
LA is a bit of a different story. Los Angeles, I think it slowed down a little bit, but it didn't slow down as much as it did here.
It's been really interesting to see that in the past, there was always this kind of this, not just with voice acting, but with industry in general, there was this idea that the office itself, the physical office, was super essential to work, and that like mm-hmm. working from home had kind of a stigma on it. But it's been the change of the pandemic has really kind of proven how much of the stuff we actually can do from telecommuting. This is kind of a industry revolution, a work revolution. It's been really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I think a good example of that is a lot of the developers that are able to like make video games from home. Yeah. You know, like they all just chat over Zoom and then they could make a game.
Yeah, that entire South Park pandemic special was made from home.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing considering that show's production schedule already is like mm-hmm. extremely hectic.
Right. Oh,
I recommend, if you haven't seen it, a fantastic documentary about like how South Park gets made. It's called 6 Days to Air.
Oh yeah.
Watch
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That is fantastic. So what's cool about it is that its production schedule is so vastly different from Family Guy or The Simpsons or any other sitcom, because they write it like months. So those shows, they write it like months in advance, I guess. Maybe longer. And South Park is a different story. They do it 6 days every week for a few months.
Yeah.
And they just always manage to get it done. I think there was one time they couldn't get it done, and I remember what it was. It was, there was a building blackout. So there was a blackout like in the building, and the episode had to be delayed because they literally could not finish the work on the episode.
Man. I'm honestly shocked that they've been able to like stick with that schedule for this long. Because South Park has been around since like I was a freaking child, and it's still they're still going strong. Like that's just
the first episode premiered the year I was born.
Oh, what year was that?
1997.
Right.
Yeah, 97.
That's crazy.
I think that's kind of it's really obviously putting unnecessary stress on everyone, but there is the nice outcome of that, which is that I'm not like a huge fan of South Park myself, but I've always heard that like the things that they're satirizing, the things that they're parodying are always pretty timely compared to other shows.
Oh yeah, it's always topical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been that way for about I want to say the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I remember I think around 2006 is, I want to say, when they started to switch. I mean, not that much, but I think the turning point, in my opinion, was the World of Warcraft episode, the Make Love Not Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's when they really started to lean into the topical things, which isn't a bad thing by any means.
No, it's good.
Because that episode literally won an Emmy, which is, I mean, it's one of the best episodes they've ever made to this day, I think. And then there's the whole Cartoon Wars thing where, you know, Family Guy had just came back on the air. So South Park was like, okay, let's do an episode on that.
Was that the Simpsons did it episode?
The Simpsons episode was a couple of years before that.
Oh.
But I'd say that premise is still kind of timeless.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the Family Guy one was like with the, what was it? It was like a seal that... That picked up like the was it a manatee? Like
it was the manatee episode,
right? Yeah, I remember it was like he like picks up the balls and puts them in the thing.
Looking back, that episode was so mean spirited. I mean, it was like, oh my god.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this recently. How like I feel like Family Guy kind of died because of all the memes, right? Like it became like such a meme that it's almost like not. I don't want to say it's not cool to watch Family Guy, but like it's not. But South Park has remained, you know, it's remained like relevant and it's still like funny and good. But then again, I haven't watched Family Guy God knows how long.
I've actually seen some of the newer Family Guy episodes, like the newest ones, the recent ones. They're actually pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think one of the writers on Family Guy actually. I don't quote me on this, but I think they said that they wanted to up their game for like the newer seasons, and they've shown that they have.
Yeah.
I think they've gotten pretty dang good lately. South Park though has like you said maintained that quality. I remember actually Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they were talking, I think on the commentary of the episode, or they were going to have a talk somewhere where they were talking about how the writers of, I think, The Simpsons and King of the Hill sent them flowers, and they were like, thank you for ripping into Family Guy. I'm like, that's what they said, yeah.
That's so cool. Man.
Yeah, I mean, they were the cool kid on the block, I guess, at the time, you know, Family Guy. When it came back on the air, that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like, everyone was, like, all my friends were watching Family Guy. When I was in elementary school, like when it came back, and I was sitting here like, I've been watching like because I live in Canada, right? So we had this thing called The Detour on Teletoon, which is basically like Adult Swim for us.
Right.
And they would just constantly play the old Family Guy seasons, like the first three seasons. And then I remember I was watching the old seasons, just like a rerun one day. And my dad was like, you know, they've been making new episodes lately, right? And I was like, wait, what? And it was like, yeah, every Sunday there's new episodes. I was like, are you serious? So I was like, I turned in. I was like, oh my god, yeah, new episodes. Look at that.
This feels like we're doing like a book club of Family Guy episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, you mentioned earlier about Emmy winners.
Who's Emmy?
And I noticed on your Twitter banner that a certain other show won an Emmy.
Last Kids. We won an Emmy. We won. Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's
congrats.
Thanks. I still have trouble believing it, considering I'm still pretty early. Like, I know it's not for me. Like, I know it's like it's obviously like a group effort, and like of course, and it's for the whole show. But I'm just thinking to myself like I'm still pretty early in my career, and I'm like thinking to myself like, that's pretty big to be a part of a show that like this, that you know. That's won an Emmy.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
That's like, crazy.
If you only have up to go from here, then you're looking at a pretty illustrious career at that point.
Next step, two Emmys.
I hope so. I'm just going to keep doing what I do best and keep learning new techniques and trying my hardest. So,
well, speaking of new techniques, I do have a few questions. I'll kind of sprinkle them out like throughout this episode, but first one,
sure, go ahead.
I want to know. So I want you to explain the plot of a hypothetical baby's version of Breaking Bad, a la Muppet Babies and a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I think I've got a good premise here.
Okay.
So, Walter, no, it can't be Walter. Walty. We'll call him Walty. Walty is a little baby, you know, little baby okay. puppet. But unfortunately, Walty's got a little bit of a cold. And Walty, he's a little sniffly, so he can't really help his friends at the moment. But his friend, Jezebel, has made, like, the most amazing addictive sugar cookies in the world.
And everyone
loves them. The problem is, they get such a sugar high that they tend to crash afterwards. So everyone has nap time too early. So... because Walty can't help his friends out because he's out of commission at the moment because of the sniffles, he decides to help Jezebel make the sugar cookies for everyone. But then their mom comes in and says that you can't make those sugar cookies. They make everyone super super duper hyper and nap time's too early, and they're like, I wasn't making the sugar cookies.
Wait, is the mom Hank?
Yes.
Okay.
I was making the sugar cookies. And then the mom says, okay, I'm going back to my minerals now. So the mom goes back to her minerals. And then another puppet from down the block comes.
Is it Gus?
And he lives in a rich family's house with lots of friends. And his name is Gussie. And Gussie says, hey, I hear you have really good sugar cookies. We also make some really delicious sugar cookies, too. I was wondering if you could share a recipe with us, and we'll give you some of our recipe in return, and we could really make everyone really happy. And Walty and Jezebel were like, yeah, this is a great idea. We can make everyone happy by doing this. But unfortunately... Jezebel has some bad experiences. She becomes too addicted to the sugar cookies and becomes very sugar hyper. And Jezebel meets another puppet down the block that's not part of Gussie's gang. And they decide to eat lots of sugar cookies together. And the problem is they do so many that it can be a girl or a guy. That, let's say, the significant other of Jezebel goes to sleep.
Dies.
And doesn't wake. No. No, it goes to sleep for a little bit. And Jezebel starts to think to herself, is this sugar cookie business really worth making everyone happy when it can also cause such a sugar high? And then Walty says, Jezebel, we need to cook! We need to cook now! And Jezebel says, and then Jezebel runs away in her little tricycle, and Walty does so many sugar cookies that he passes out the end.
Nice.
For nap time.
That was very detailed.
A round of applause in the chat. Yeah. I wasn't expecting like a full on synopsis. I was asking for a plot, but you gave me a synopsis, so I appreciate that. That was.
In a bridged Breaking Bad starring starring puppets.
Breaking Babies. That was great.
Breaking Babies.
I think you deserve an Emmy for that, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I've been doing a lot of like stories like at night. I've been brushing up on improv skills lately, I guess so. I mean, I guess that's helped a little bit.
Well, hopefully that was a good exercise for you because you nailed that.
Wait, was there a reason for that, Duplex?
No. Well, I mean,
what do you mean?
You guys discussed Breaking Bad in the last episode, I wanted to see if we can get that, and we did, so I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm glad I remembered all that, because I haven't seen Breaking Bad since I finished it last year, so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot was skipped in the process, but he's pretty decently faithful.
Yeah, totally. You skipped right to the end.
I realized if I kept going, it would just be 30 minutes, so I couldn't do it.
We should do like a full version, like every story beat of Breaking Bad, but replaced with baby like tropes.
We didn't get to the part where Walty accidentally made a bad cookie and hurt Jezebel's significant other's son.
Right.
In the process. Yeah. Gave him a tummy ache. Jezebel was mad at Walty for that.
Yeah, a ricin cookie, as it were.
Ooh.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
So, a couple more things before we get into the JoJo meat, which is, I'd like to bring back Lars's purchase corner, because I've made a purchase this week, which has been pretty incredible.
Do you have a jingle?
I don't yet. I gotta hit up someone on Fiverr to make that.
Here, I'll drop the lyrics, and you just put some royalty free beat behind it.
Okay.
Lars's royalty free purchase corner. What did he get this week?
There. Okay. So this isn't a purchase. It's actually a birthday gift to me, and it's a
happy
gaming.
Birthday.
Thank you. It's a gaming keyboard. I have a gaming keyboard now. I used to have regular keyboards, but now it's a gaming one, and it's really cool.
So that matches your gamer chair.
Yeah, because I got a gamer chair recently, and the cool thing about it,
the drapes.
I don't know how that would apply to a chair, but so it has this thing where it does like a rainbow ripple when I type on the keys, and it pulses to the beat of the music that I'm listening to. It's incredible.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool, actually.
Yeah, I didn't think I would like it as much as I did, but it's like, it's really awesome.
Is it like one of those water speakers where like the water will like react to different colors when the beat changes or something?
It's similar in concept, yeah.
It's that thing that Jesse has in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Guys, if you have $70 to spare, I highly recommend a gaming keyboard. It's going to change your game. It's going to make you game like at least 80% harder.
You game smarter.
And it's going to be a visual treat. It's really like, I've leveled up. I'll just say that. I've leveled up.
What happened to you?
They leveled up.
What do you mean?
They leveled up.
What are you talking about?
They leveled up.
Is it like a mechanical keyboard?
Yeah, it's a mechanical keyboard. It's the clicky clicky.
Oh.
I've had this Corsair Cherry Red keyboard for the past like 4 years, and it's done me well.
So yeah.
Yeah. I'd say mechanical keyboards, like regardless of whether or not you're a gamer, I think it's a must have if you like the clickety clacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you hear this clickety clack? Like.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's so satisfying.
It is.
It's like a nice gingerbread snap.
Mechanical. It makes editing podcast episodes harder now, but oh well.
Right.
Good thing I didn't like Alt F4 or by accident or like delete System 32 in the process.
So I have a gaming chair, and now I have a gaming keyboard, and I'm thinking about getting a gaming mouse as well as a gaming mouse pad
and a gaming headset.
They make game like these mouse pads that light up alongside your keyboard, and they synchronize with your keyboard, so you have like this epic gaming experience.
And a gamer can opener.
Yeah, I think I'd be gaming at like a 300% if I had all that.
Yeah.
Like it would really help.
You'd be unstoppable. 300%
gamer energy.
Exactly.
The wireless keyboard, the wireless, what am I using? I'm using a Logitech wireless G903. I've also had this for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
It still works fantastically. And yeah.
But is it a gaming keyboard?
Does it have the word gamer before it?
Yeah.
Or gaming?
No, it has Corsair.
Oh.
But they make really good RAM. Too?
Yeah.
They make good RAM?
Gamer RAM, as it were.
It is gamer RAM. It is designed like that.
Gamer RAM. I might ask for that for Christmas. I need a new SSD and I need some new RAM, I think.
Yeah. Gamer SSD and gamer RAM.
Yeah.
Make sure you write that down.
Yeah, exactly.
Write that down on my wish list for Santa Claus.
Dear Santa,
I really want some gamer RAM so I can play Counter-Strike with my friends. Sincerely, Jacob.
What is RAM? What is gamer RAM? Rudolph, get in here. Your nose is red. It says it lights up like just like the keyboard.
It's an infection.
It's an infection? Well, now.
Yes, I'm going to die very soon.
No. Rudolph, do you think I could eject some of your infection into this keyboard in front of me? It would make a child very happy.
Sure, I have nothing else to live for.
Wow.
That is messed up. Poor Rudolph.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god.
So, I don't know. Our agent TJ actually pointed something out today, which is that apparently when he first suggested you as a guest on the show, my immediate reaction is that I thought that you looked like you could probably be cousins to Jack DeSena. Do you know who that is?
Is he a vlogger?
Is he a gamer?
No, he played Sokka in Avatar.
Oh, yeah. People have also told me I kind of sound like him, too.
Okay, I'm going to post pictures in the chat, because I think, maybe not brothers, I think you guys could be cousins. Let me put them in there. And Amir, don't forget to render these.
Yeah, I see it. I'm looking at him right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's super talented. He's in that new Lego The Monkey King show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's also in The Dragon Prince, which a lot of my colleagues in Vancouver work on and voice in.
Oh.
Actually, Bardell Animation, the people that do The Dragon Prince, are actually doing New Gen. So,
if you ever break into like real life acting, you guys should do like a project together or something where you're cousins.
I hope so. See, he's a really talented guy. I mean, anyone who can play Sokka is talented. So, I mean,
yeah. Also, he does a
as well as him.
Yeah, he does a YouTube channel, by the way, called Chris and Jack, where he does like really, really, really well produced like 7-minute skits with sometimes almost like Lord Vega level commitment to it. Doplex, you should check this out as well. It's a really good channel. I highly recommend everyone check it out. Chris and Jack, they're like criminally undersubbed. I think they're at like 120,000 right now, and they do like movie level things. It's incredible.
Oh, really, say really no more. I'm all about it.
Who's the voice of Pit from Kid Icarus? He also has a YouTube channel that's pretty funny. What's his name? The voice actor of Pit. He's also Chico in Metal Gear Solid.
Anthony Del Rio?
Yes, him. He also has a YouTube channel that I remember being pretty funny.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he has a sketch channel too, I think.
Doplex, I'm going to give you a chance, by the way, if you have any outstanding questions, because I feel like once we get into it, it's kind of going to take up the rest of the episode.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You guys talked a lot about Star Wars in your previous episode. If you could voice any character in a four kids only animated Star Wars series, what character would you voice and what would that sound like?
Oh, man. I'd have to think about it. I mean, if I voiced, like, first of all, I mean, I'd obviously be lucky to voice anyone in Star Wars just to be a part of that franchise. Second of all, I feel like Palpatine would be the same. Like, Palpatine is already so, like, over the top. I feel like if 4Kids were to do Palpatine, like, he would also be very up here. Maybe if 4Kids did Palpatine, it would be more up here. Yeah, kind of like Starscream.
Or, and he'd be like,
that's actually more like Skeletor. That's more like Skeletor. But,
4Kids dubbed over my voice? Why wasn't I commissioned for this?
Wow, that's pretty good.
Beastman, why did you not tell me?
Sorry. Okay, anyway.
All right, that works.
Well, I think I got my answer from that. I have one more question. It's a little bit shorter.
What's that?
I don't know if you remember, but Lars accused you of being a brony. Have you sought out legal action since that slander?
No legal actions needed. I actually, a lot of, like, all the bronies that I've ever interacted with on Twitter have been, like, really respectful and nice.
Awesome. Well, there you go, Lars. You're off the hook.
I didn't accuse him of being a brony. I was just asking questions. I asked him whether...
I like the show. I mean, I've been in the show.
Oh, yeah,
and
my
like
question on that episode was, did being a brony get you the role in the first place, or did the role turn you into a brony? Like, I wasn't accusing you.
That's
right.
That's actually a fair. That's both a fair question and a funny question at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't remember my answer to that question, but I would say that. I mean, I'd seen the show before I was part of it. I got asked by the voice director because we'd worked on a project beforehand, and that's how I became a part. That's how I just did a couple. I just did some miscellaneous voices, I think, in two different episodes. Yeah, it was a fun time. It was awesome to see to see the voice of Rarity and, like, you know, Sam Vincent and Scott McNeil just do their thing. I'd, like, even if I didn't have that much dialogue, it was just so cool to just see these voice actors who have been in the industry for decades, just watch them do their thing. It was super informative.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to So last time we did this, I think it was with Frankie from Otaku Versus.
Oh,
pretty much.
We can't do this, man. Oh, we can't do this one. I wish we could, but it's yeah, it's the three shells thing. We're not gonna be able to pull this one off.
No, not that. Not that.
Oh, okay. Wait, what are you talking about then?
It was the voice acting segment that I had set up for her.
Oh,
with the characters.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, this is safe.
That would be really fun.
Okay.
I think so. I think.
I don't know what's happening, but okay.
Oh, let me just for context. Okay, so I thought that he was proposing a segment which I felt was way too profane, but it turns out he was actually proposing one that was actually fairly tame.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So pretty much, when we did our episode with Frankie from Otaku Versus, I gave her some pretty just basic characters to give me what they would sound like. So I kind of wanted to do that with you and see if we can compare the two and then see whoever did it better, I guess. Give me if you had to voice a character that was an anthropomorphic bowl of soup, what would that sound like?
I would probably do something like Droopy Dog. maybe a little more high pitched. Yeah, I'd kind of do it like around this area.
I mean, maybe I'd add some like bubbles to it.
Like, head blow. My name is just Alphabet Soup. Nice to meet you.
And like every time the Alphabet Soup talks, it sometimes like,
nice to meet you.
Like the bubbles would like come out.
Yeah.
And like every time it makes like a P sound, it'd be like burp, burp, and then like bubbles would come up.
Yeah. Okay. So to compare the two, all right. So I remember Frankie, like, she gargled some water to get that effect. you were able to kind of
produce it naturally.
Just exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's really impressive.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the other character is a dog who is a chain smoker.
A chain smoker.
I mean, if I can do a chain smoker, like I kind of do it in this range a little bit.
But if it was a dog chain smoker,
a Chihuahua specifically, I think that's
Chihuahua?
What she did.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, then if it was a Chihuahua chain smoker, it would be definitely down in this area. Hey, kid, come over here. I got something to ask you. Could you maybe do a favor for me? Take that.
What?
Take this package over there.
Okay.
Yeah, where? Something like that.
Can you?
That's great.
Just to add to that, because I think I requested this in the first time. Can you say the phrase "stay in school, kids"?
Oh, right.
As what? As just a.
As a frail chain smoking Chihuahua, say "stay in school, kids."
Oh,
stay in school, kids.
Yeah, because I could just imagine him like sitting outside of a convenience store saying that to kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That maybe like be more like low key, like, yeah, all right, yeah, stay in school, kids. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Exactly.
Sitting on some plastic patio furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked for the Mentos. I didn't ask for this. Take it back.
And then I have one more. I don't know if you want it. You can do it if you want. You don't have to. But it was Jesus Christ as a bouncer at a club.
okay. Let me try. Like, my son, I unfortunately cannot allow you into this club because I'm afraid you are not strong or buff enough. Once you return after drinking the blood, after drinking my blood, you may enter. And accept Jesus Christ and my Father, the Lord and Savior, into your life.
Well done.
Well, Wow. Yeah, because that was a lot more tame.
Yeah. It was interesting because, like, I think you had a bit of an advantage here. Not to downplay your success here, but, like, he gave a lot of male voice roles to Frankie, who is a female. So, like, this is probably coming out a lot more naturally for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh, speaking of which, Doplex, can you come up with, like, a challenging female voice for him to do?
Oh, sure. Yeah. let's see. A chocolate Easter bunny, who's a female, made of chocolate, but they are insane. Like, a menace to society. Like, they're just crazy.
Hey there, kids! I was wondering maybe if you wanted to go over here and help me smash some cars. Maybe you want to help me, I'll give you some Easter eggs in return. That might be able to, you know, give you a little bit of incentive. Just a little bit.
I don't know. I tried.
That was great.
That was good.
Especially on the
spot.
That
was really good.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That was really good. Wow.
Thank you for indulging us with all that.
Thank you for entertaining my stupid idea.
Oh, yeah. Someone put a link in the chat to your voices.com profile if people want to purchase your services.
Oh, I don't use voices.com.
Oh,
I actually, you know, what's funny, actually, I set up that account, I think, before I was part of the union. Mm. I think it's funny. You know, I think actually, I think Troy Baker also has a voices.com account.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I think, but like he doesn't use it. I think it's fun. Like you can actually, voices.com is actually cool because it's kind of like you can find like really famous voice actors, you can find some like really famous voice actors like old demos on there. So it's this like this cool graveyard zone for their old stuff before they hit it big, basically, and got a ton of work and were established. Let me find out. There's definitely some. I don't quote me on Troy Baker, but there's definitely some voices.
I feel like if Troy Baker was on there, it'd be interesting to hear that because he's in literally every video game.
Yeah,
he might have used to have it. I know that there's like there were some established voice actors now that I'm sure started off on voices.com. I actually got back when I did voiceover classes, like when I was first starting out, I still do them from time to time. I actually did this amazing accent class with Karen Strassman, who she's fantastic. If you want to know more about how to do accents, take her class. Seriously, she's so helpful. But anyway, yeah, I remember back when I was doing those classes, they recommended me voices.com. And like, there's this big, you know, at the time, this big, commercial announcer for Ford, he was on there. So, there's a lot of people that start off on voices.com, I want to say.
Mm. Out of curiosity, by the way, if someone did hear your voice and they happen to be like producing a show or something, like, is that one of those things where if you're interested, they'll know, or is there like a good place to hit you up?
I have a business email, which is Gmail. I also recently opened a LinkedIn. Sometimes I just get requests.
Okay.
Like one thing I was requested for recently was which I can't talk about, which was not through audition, so.
Oh.
Always keep all your options available to you, you know, as long as you can, you know, if you're union, it's more limited, but it's good because you also get like benefits. And if you're union already, that usually means you're pretty decently established and you can get some regular work that way. But if you're just starting out, go for any method you can. Like, I think I did one gig back in like 2013 from Craigslist, and I did it for like some festival or something. It was bad. It was really, really bad. The delivery I did, but you know, it was like way back when. Always keep your options open if you're just starting out until you establish yourself.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, because you mentioned the whole union thing. Isn't that like? I mean, I know nothing about like the whole voice acting industry. I think it's fascinating. I think it's really cool. It's definitely like one of those things. Obviously, so many people want to do it because of like just how much fun it looks. With the whole union thing, I remember Allison Court, who's a voice actress.
I know her. I know I mean, I don't know her personally. Allison Court, she was Lunette on A Big Comfy Couch, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I grew up watching her, as a little kid.
Yeah. And she also voiced Claire Redfield, who
she did. And she was Mira in Bakugan.
Right. Yeah, and I remember they didn't cast her in the remake of Resident Evil 2 because of the whole union thing, and I wasn't sure what exactly that meant.
I saw Matthew Mercer also talking about that. So I don't know how much I can delve into this, but there's sometimes companies will decide just to use non-union actors for certain projects. I don't know if Matthew Mercer is coming back to play Leon. I think he might be in like this new Netflix series.
I gotta
check, because I don't want to just like, I just don't want to talk out of my butt without knowing what I'm talking about here. Leon, let me see here. We don't know yet. It's there's no confirmation. Okay, well, regardless, there will sometimes be companies that don't want to go through the process of the union, so they will use non-union voice actors instead. There's a lot of anime in the U.S. that is non-union. I believe Funimation is, for the most part, non-union because they are in Texas, and that state, I believe, it is completely legal to do that, and which is fine. And the Borderlands games are also use some of the Funimation cast, which is non-union. I love the Funimation people. Chris Sabat's awesome. I run into him at like every con I ever go to, pretty much. And like,
oh, really?
He is always so chill and nice and funny. But
that's so cool.
It's just how business goes sometimes. I'm totally separated from all this. In Canada, it's way more strict. Like, I think if you do non-union work in Canada, you could get in like serious trouble.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah. Like, everything has to be union down here. A lot of the time, anime will actually... Like, for example, I'll give you an example. The first two seasons of Beyblade Burst were recorded down here, and then they moved it down to LA. And I'm sure that had something to do with the union, because all anime down here has to be union, as far as I know. Stuff ends up moving down to LA for... It could be, I don't know, it doesn't have to just be union reasons either. It could be multiple reasons. I don't want to I don't want to close anything off. But, I don't know enough about it, honestly. It's just like, it's one way of doing things, and then union's another way of doing things. And I personally really like the union because I get awesome insurance. I got great dental for now. I like the union a lot. So
yeah, union is I'm not super versed in this stuff, but union is basically like having yourself protected from being like you basically have somebody like looking out for you, right? Like when you do get new jobs, is that kind of what it is?
It's worker, I don't know enough about it, but I'm not really sure. Again, I don't know enough about it.
Right.
So ask someone else, basically. Okay. So
yeah, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I'm like, it's, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I wanted to
Lars, counterpoint.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know the counterpoint. I wanted to talk about both like my experience watching JoJo and also another project which just kind of came out, the first episode of which I'm now interested in, which is Blood Sun Vendetta.
Yeah, Mick's series. Yeah. Mick's a friend of mine.
Yeah, Mick has become a friend of the show since you came on, and I've recruited him a couple times to do like little voice acting things for different episodes, and
that's great.
Yeah. He's the homie, man. Like he's the
great dude.
One of the realest dudes I know.
Mick is so talented. I remember when he was like, I'm going to make Blood Sun Vendetta a motion comic. And then he was like, oh, whoops, it was 15. It's like 15 minutes and I made it a full animation. Whoops. Dude is so committed. Like, I love that guy.
Yeah, I was talking kind of in the pre-show with the listeners to the show that it's like they almost ought to just like he's doing so much work for this fan made project that they almost ought to just count it as official, because he's like, he's making a whole new JoJo, he's making a ton of new stands, he's making like a whole new storyline and everything, and it's yeah. really cool.
It is, and the fact that he also gets to actually be a part of, like, he's the voice of Abakio in the JoJo dub mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, which is so cool. He gets to be a part of it as well as his own fan-made thing, which is really neat.
There is one thing I don't quite understand, though, which is that Jose, how is he a Joe star, or is that just being disregarded?
I don't think he is. Okay. He's Whole Horse's kid. He's Whole right. Horse's son. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because his name is Hijo de Caballo, which is son of horse.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, by the way. I think I don't think it's he's specifically. I think he's only JoJo in name.
Okay.
I think. Don't quote me. Like I don't honestly remember. I don't think he's technically a JoJo. You'll have to ask Mick.
Yeah, you know what? I'll just ask him next time he comes on. Yeah.
If he, I mean, do you remember a scene where Jose had the tattoo?
Yeah.
He does have the tattoo, the star.
That's the confusing part.
Okay. Then, well, if it wasn't Whole Horse, it was probably his mother then.
Oh! Oh, wow! Why didn't I think of that? Of course. Like, that obviously, yeah. It has to be. That otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't Whole Horse, yeah, it can't be. I mean, it can't be Whole Horse. That's actually cool. Whole Horse was actually supposed to be a part of the Stardust Crusaders. He was actually originally going to join.
Oh, okay. So,
which I would have liked.
Okay,
but,
so
oh well.
I'm not quite all the way through Stardust Crusaders, but I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm missing Hamon already, but the concept of the stand is really cool. Like, I think that's a really cool premise for it's not really similar to Pokemon, but it kind of has sort of like a trainer battle thing going on with it, where like you mm-hmm. send out your stands. And I really, like, the premise is cool, because, like, everyone has their own unique, you know, their, mm-hmm. well, not everyone, but, like, you know, like, stand-sensitive people, I guess you would say, or...
Yeah, stand users attract other stand users. That's, yeah. like, that's just, like, the rule of law in JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing about stands, you'll learn to love stands like I did, because, like, for the first couple episodes, I was like, man, I don't know, I kind of liked Hamon.
Yeah.
But then as Stardust Crusaders continued, as well as like into part four, it became clear to me how much more you can do with stands mm-hmm. compared to Hamon. Because like, I don't know how far you are yet, but stands get like insane in part four. Like in part three, they kind of just start out as like punchy dudes with like a little bit of side ability.
Mm-hmm.
In part four, it's like, let's have a stand that can cause gravity to invert on itself, like, or let's have a stand that can rip open a hole into another dimension, but because the guy who uses it is so dumb, he can't use it to his full potential. Or like, how about a stand that's just a rat that has a sniper rifle?
yeah, which is like an animal that has one that's called like the Fool or something?
Yeah, that's Iggy.
Okay. That's a really interesting idea, too. I like the concept, but, like, I kind of going back to the previous series, I think so far my favorite has been Part 2. I think Battle Tendency has yeah. been my favorite thus far.
Yeah, Part 2 is one of my favorites as well. I think Part 2 is... It's pretty much flawless, I think. I mean, it's hard to... I don't know. Like, I go back to watch Part 2 occasionally from time to time, and I can't really think of anything really wrong with it.
Yeah, and well, I don't want to, like, you kind of can't talk about part two without comparing it to part one, and part one I watched, and I was kind of talking to people on the server about it, and I noticed something really interesting, which is that it's one of those shows where every single line is ridiculous. Like, every single yeah. thing they're saying is just absurd.
Everything is quotable in JoJo. Almost everything they say is quotable.
Mm-hmm.
In part four has some of the most quotable lines in the series. The I refuse, and like the stuff that a lot of the stuff that Kira says, I'm not going to say who Kira is, but you'll see. But yeah, everything is quotable and everything is ridiculous. Oh yeah. What the hell am I talking about? Dio, anything Dio says is quotable.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything, yeah. Especially in Stardust Crusaders. You're going to love Dio in Stardust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen a bit of him so far. In the original, in part one, it was like, I felt like it, at times, I really liked part one, just for reference,
yeah.
But
yeah,
it felt like a little kind of single-minded. It was basically just Jonathan versus Dio and a couple of side characters that get introduced and then die in 5 minutes. And it's like,
yeah,
it's
it,
like
it
all
was
right.
Your classic, it was your classic Battle of Brothers story. That,
right.
I think it was a good starting point just to like, you know, get the mood settled. And it's really short. Which is a lot of fans, I mean, some fans will like argue that like JoJo doesn't like, it doesn't really find its footing until part two.
Right.
Because part two is so ridiculous. And from that, from like part two onwards, it just keeps going into that ridiculousness. Part one's pretty grounded. I mean, there's some parts that aren't like the whole part with like Dio having his head detached. And just like and just like crawling around on veins, which is really fun, which is great. But in part two, you've got like a Nazi cyborg with a cannon out of his chest, and you've got you've got Joseph Joestar like shooting black ink squid spaghetti and make like out like with Hamon, and you've got a dude who can use bubbles with Hamon, and and you've got like these three mega buff dudes that have been in the you know the rocks forever, and they pose, and it's crazy. Oh dude, and the giant squid, I forgot about the giant squid when he's in the plane and a giant squid comes out of nowhere and hits him in the face.
What's really interesting, by the way, is the contrast between Jonathan and Joestar, though, or Jonathan and Joestar, Jonathan and Joseph. I guess I like Jonathan as a protagonist, but Joseph is just so much cooler, like, right away.
Yeah. What's cool about Joseph is that, like, you're so used to Jonathan, like, he's a man of honor, he's a man of doing what's right. Joseph is the polar opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
He will run away from fights, like, on purpose to get the upper hand. He's a total scumbag. He will, like, specifically trick his opponent into thinking that, like, he's done for.
Yeah.
Or like he'll just think of stuff out of thin air. And when he's not thinking of stuff out of thin air, he's pretending he thought of stuff out of thin air.
It's
great. Yeah. It's
4D chess is what really is going on. Like that's
Joseph is the epitome of 4D chess. That's his entire character arc, pretty much.
Yeah. And I really liked like how there were maybe some stronger characters that in that arc as opposed to like season one, or I guess part one is really just like those two main characters and then some side people that aren't really that important, I guess, aside from Speedwagon, who does kind of affect the whole series.
Great. I love Speedwagon.
Yeah. I liked him too. But then in part two, you know, you have Caesar and you have Lisa, you have like these kind of not super, they're not just there to help the protagonist move along. They have their own motivations and their own like backstories and stuff as well.
Yeah. Caesar is like his backstory like isn't uncommon, but it's done so well with like so much emotion. And I think if you like, some people will say like to whether or not to like read certain parts of JoJo over others, watch part two for sure, because like the music in part two adds so much to Caesar's character, I think.
Yeah.
That whole, you know, the whole like Caesar scene, that entire scene, like the music, in my opinion, just helps make that scene.
Yeah, people really slept on that. I think the music from the first two parts, like both of the theme songs are awesome. And then
I don't think anyone slept on it. I think it's just like, it's been so long since those parts happened, and there's still so much good music that came out of it. Like,
Pillarman.
I remember Lotus Juice, the guy that does a bunch of Persona music. He did Joseph's theme song, and hardly anyone's heard it because I don't think it was actually in the show itself.
Oh.
Yeah. It's on the albums, and it's, like, in the promos and stuff, but I don't think it's in the show.
Wait, why didn't they use it?
They might have, and I just don't remember. They might have used a version of it that was, that, like, just didn't have Lotus Juice's lyrics, but, Lotus Juice's version is like coming through now, overdrive. It's great. It's so like Joseph.
And then I Like, I'm getting to see the origins of a lot of internet memes now, like the to be continued meme and the
this
Pillarmen theme and stuff. And it's been fun because, like, I got to this a little bit late to the party, but it's like kind of an interesting internet history lesson, I guess. Watching
this stuff. Wait till you get to part four and you learn about Dwang.
All right.
Yeah, search when you watch part before. Yeah, when you watch part four, search up Dwang translation. That's pretty good. And then part five is insane. I mean, the torture dance, I guess, is like the big meme highlight of part five.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one, the 7-page Muda, which I will dare not spoil. But yeah, those are like the two big ones of part five.
In Battle Tendency, at one point, Joseph remarks that Lisa is kind of cute.
You want to talk about the memes about that? There's this fantastic... Okay, so at the end of, like, part two, there's, like, this montage happening of... I'll send it to you later, but there's, like, this montage happening of, like, what the characters were up to after part two ended.
Yeah.
And there's, like, this scene of Joseph and Susie Q and Lisa on the boat to New York. And Susie Q is like, Susie Q married a famous actor in New York. And there's this just dumbfounded look on Joseph's face because he had just found out that he was his mom. And there's this great edit of like this like backwards violin that was like, there's just like this song and they just play it backwards and it's just super disturbing violin. And it has a flashback of that scene of him like being a peeping Tom back when he didn't know it was his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that moment, okay, so it's not exactly the same, but I got when you talked about like marrying like a famous Hollywood actor or producer, I got kind of like Poochie Died on the Way Home back to his home planet vibes from that. It was a very like quick little explanation. I don't know. It came off very strange.
You know, it's funny you say that because at the beginning of part three, Joseph actually talks about Lisa. You blink and you miss it, but it's when Joseph is showing Jotaro the image of Dio, and he was saying like, yeah, I was talking to my mom about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and it's like, you'll blink and you miss it, but she's there. She's.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Barely. But yeah.
I may have missed that already. But I'll probably watch the series again at some point. I'll look out for all these little moments and stuff. Doplex, I'm kind of curious. What was your favorite battle from the series?
My favorite battle was at the mansion because of how ridiculous it was. It was ridiculous how he saves his life with a simple kick off the wall that would have been physically impossible to the average human being, even a very athletic and well-built, also kind of handsome person like myself.
Yeah. I love all the like contrived physical coincidences that allow characters to survive and stuff. Like stuff that is blatantly impossible and blatantly disregards all physics at all times. And it's still just like the show gets by just like purely on the rule of awesome.
That's why it's called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, because it's like it's bizarre. You just gotta go with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the physics don't matter.
Yeah, none of it makes any sense. And I found it was best, like literally in episode two, to just embrace it.
Yeah, there's actually a stand specific I think Araki over time, I don't know, this is just my theory, but I think Araki probably over time realized, like, I get that, you know, my series is called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and, like, everyone, you know, defies the laws of gravity. Oh my god, I just realized. Okay, so there's, before I go into this, I know you haven't finished part three yet, but there's something that, that two characters do in a final battle near the end of part three that is, they do? And they never do it again. No character ever does it again. It's just, they do it, and then that's it. You'll know what I'm talking about once you get, like, farther in the series, but, like, it's... I didn't even realize it until like, I watched, like, later into the arcs, and I was like, oh, yeah, how did they do that? But anyway, there's a stand called Echoes, which actually is... that gravity stand I was talking about before. It also has the power to like add sound effects to objects. And if it adds sound effects to objects, it can make that reality. Like, let's say, for example, you are about to get stabbed by a knife. You could add a boing sound effect to that knife to to where it won't stab you. It'll just be made of like foam and it'll like bounce off you.
Oh, that's kind of clever.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Awkward silence.
Yeah.
That we like to do that here. It's might as well just let things kind of ring out for a bit. Yeah. So we can all really sit on it.
Yeah. In terms of final thoughts, I'm just going to say that it's one of those shows that I've seen so far that if Japanese weirdness is your thing, that I think you're really going to enjoy it if you're listening to this. If it's not, I might skip it because it's very extra. Very, very extra. But I can put my stamp of approval on it as a recommendation at this point.
I think if you like part one and you don't like part two, then you probably won't like the rest of the series. Because if you don't like part two, I'm sorry to say, but the series just goes even deeper into what part two did. So
who doesn't like part two?
I know that no one. I've never met a single person that didn't like part two.
Yeah. By the way,
what would the name, appearance, and powers of your stand be?
Oh, I've thought about this before. I'm ashamed to admit. My stand would be called. Oh God, am I really about to go into this? My stand would be called Blind Guardian, which is a metal power metal band.
Mm-hmm.
And its power is basically it can defend me at any moment when I'm about to be like sucker punched, or something like that. Like when I'm off, you know, like. When I'm like unaware of something's about to happen, it's literally like a Deus Ex Machina stand. Like if I'm ever in danger of anything I'm not aware of, it'll just, it can find a way to save me.
Interesting.
And it's also decently powerful too. So.
Okay.
Wow. That's why it's called Blind Guardian, because it's like, I'm blind to it and it's my guardian.
I think mine would probably be called Duran. And based on like my desire to always grow and progress and to earn and to have a vocation and to continue to be fruitful and multiply, it could make anything into two. So if you have one thing, you could make it into two things.
Oh, like Duran Duran. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be Duran, my Duran. Stand, I think. And I think it wouldn't be super powerful. It would just be very like mechanically useful, and it would have a high score for potential.
There's a stand like that in part three, actually.
Oh, okay.
Wish granting stand. I'm not going to go into it, but yeah.
Okay. Doplex, what would be your stand?
My stand would be George Michael, and it would just come out and play Careless Whisper.
Good enough.
By the way,
some stands are just like that.
I feel like
you want to do the reveal.
Yeah, sure. So I'm gonna do my big wig reveal here. I've never seen JoJo. Lars gave me some questions to ask you. I want to watch it because it's aesthetically appealing, but I've never seen the show. So I'm sorry for lying to you, Nick. I apologize. I'm sorry.
No problem, man. Hey, I had a feeling you hadn't watched it because maybe me and Lars were the only ones talking about it. But it's all good, dude.
Yeah, I was in the bag. I was just soaking it all up, you know.
Did you notice that I was trying to? I kind of gave him some questions that like feigned that he had some familiarity with the series, like kind of specific things about like different moments in the show. I was trying to like,
not really. When I start talking about JoJo, it's hard for me to stop.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I appreciate you humoring me.
Yeah.
Either way.
No problem.
I guess kind of before we close things out, by the way, in the interest of the eternal nerd, Nick Wolfhard, have there been any good games on your radar lately?
Yeah, I just finished Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Oh,
very good.
So good.
I got the PS5 version, and, you know, they say that I wasn't too big into ray tracing before like these new consoles came out.
Right.
I played Miles Morales. Oh my God. Like, it's insane. How much depth it adds to everything. Like, I remember I was, I was comparing and contrasting, and it's really nice that they give you the option to have it in 60 FPS.
Right.
But man, everything just pops with ray tracing turned on. Like the buildings, the reflections, the weather, the higher definition, it's just crazy.
I think the ray tracing, because I also have it on PS5, and I think the ray tracing definitely kind of makes it I kind of feel like with video games, we're kind of in that uncanny valley where it's like really starting to look almost lifelike. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane. Yeah, like the thing that really blew me away was the reflections, honestly.
I think when God of War Ragnarok comes out next year, I think we're really going to see what it's going to, what games are going to start to look like.
Yeah.
Because Miles Morales was cross-gen. The only game that isn't is Demon's Souls, and that game does not have ray tracing. It still looks incredible. And I actually have that. I think I'm going to play that next. I think a year or two down the line on both consoles, Series X and this, we're going to really start to see the difference. And this generation is way more powerful than the PS4 and Xbox One is.
Yeah.
Like this, I was looking at Digital Foundry earlier. If you ever want to go into spec details about like console differences, watch Digital Foundry. They're great. They also just did recently a video with the Demon's Souls devs, Blue Point. But yeah, anyway, they did. I forgot where I was going. What was I talking about?
The specs between both next gen consoles.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. The specs between both consoles are like they did a video that showed that the PS5, at least with the new Assassin's Creed game, it has about the same power as a 2080 Super. Oh. And I have a 2080 Ti. So if they're that powerful, that's a good sign.
Yeah, totally. Honestly, yeah. I mean,
they're powerful.
Yeah. No, the thing that trips me out is the loading times. I mean, it's crazy. Like when loading times. Exactly.
There's none.
It blows my freaking mind. Like I can just like turn the thing on and like I'm in a game in like a matter of seconds. Like
Crazy. Me and my friend were testing out just like backwards compatible games on the Series X.
Yeah.
I loaded up Sonic Unleashed because I heard that there's a stage in the game for the past 10 years that the frame rate always dips.
Uh-huh.
It does not dip anymore.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, I'll play through Sonic Unleashed again. It's been a while. So me and my friend were saying to each other, like, I wonder how the game was loading. Me and my friend were like, I wonder how long the loading's going to be. Like, as like the opening logo popped up. And then Quincy was like, my friend Quincy, he was like, I guess that answers your question. Literally, as soon as I finished saying that, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like 2 to 3 seconds max.
Yeah. I feel like that compared to like anything else you could say about like next gen consoles, like the graphics are nice, like all that's great. But I think just being able to switch between different games and booting stuff up that fast is,
yeah,
like I'm so happy.
Is amazing.
Yeah, that's only on the Xbox, right? That's not on the PlayStation.
Yeah, quick resume on. I mean, PS5 has something similar. You can go back and forth between different games, I believe. But I think you probably have to start at the beginning. With Xbox, you can load up like 4 or 5 different games at once and quick resume them. Like I can play Panzer Dragoon Orta and then I can switch to like, I don't know, GTA 4 or Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War and I'll still be at the part I was at before. It's incredible. Yeah,
that's so cool. Yeah, I definitely want to get an Xbox as well.
Yeah, yeah. PS5 can do something similar for sure.
I feel like they kind of in the console industry, they really slept on solid state drives though. Like it's cool that they're doing it, but it's like it's weird that it took this long.
Yeah.
I didn't know how good they were until like I think until I got Dragon Quest 11 on the PC.
Yeah.
I remember I just upgraded my PC and I played some of Dragon Quest 11. I rebought it on the Switch just because I wanted all the extra stuff. But I was playing Dragon Quest 11 and I compared the loading times to what they're usually like on console and like literal instant loading. It's like 1.5 seconds on SSD. On console, it's like 5 to 6. It's crazy.
Because I remember in PS4, I was playing Final Fantasy 15 and it was on a hard drive and the loading times were several minutes each just to travel somewhere. And I remember thinking, the technology's here for better, for faster games. I wonder why they're not using it. So I'm at least glad that they're using it now.
Yeah.
I think FF15 on PS5 and Series X, I think it loads at like it's significantly shorter. I think it's like 50 seconds now, 40 seconds.
Okay. That's still brutal, yeah. But yeah.
It's still
but
way better than bad. It was before.
Yeah.
I really want to re-download Red Dead 2 and test that out. So I remember that game had really long load times.
Mm-hmm. They're significantly shorter, I think. Yeah, it is. They're also way shorter.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. So, Amir, anything else we want to get to?
Let's see. No, I think I asked all my questions, both hypothetical, both real, and both ones you fed me. So I think I'm good.
All right.
All right.
Well, cool, Nick. As always, it's been a blast to talk to you. I always enjoy having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we should try and do this every annually.
That's a good idea. I'll give you my progress on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and we can go from there.
And mine
part
too.
Part 6 should come out next year, so I can be able to talk about that because I've never read it either. So
okay.
Yeah, so we'll have more to talk about.
Also, nice. I hear in part 7 there's just like a complete reboot.
Yeah.
All right.
That's It's a reboot, but I won't say anything more than that because it's actually plot. There's a plot reason as to why it's a reboot.
Okay.
That's in part 6, but yeah. Oh.
All right.
The adventure is no longer bizarre.
Oh, no. It's, in fact, I would say that, no, I'd say it gets more bizarre. I think the current part, part 8, people have said it's the weirdest part yet, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great. So, yeah. Nick, if people have heard your very pleasant voice on this episode and they wanted to hear it in other stuff, what's the best way to go do that?
You can find me on Twitter at @Nick_Wolfhard. You can find me on Instagram at @TheWolfhard. And if you want to check me out in some stuff, Last Kids on Earth is on Netflix right now, as well as Beyblade Burst, I believe. And at least in Canada. And yeah, I got some cool stuff coming down the pipeline. And, yeah, I'm always doing different things. I'm actually scheduled to do another podcast next week, so look forward to that, too.
Cool. Awesome.
Are you able to say what it is?
Well, there's New Gen, and, oh, the next podcast I'm on?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
But it's with a couple Canadian voice actors who have been, in the industry for a long time, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Yeah, so. You'll know when it comes out.
And just a quick last note here. Have you given up on your elevator logic yet?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was so bad that Finn actually came into the room to insult you about it during the recording.
I do remember that. No, I still think in my head it makes sense. I'm not lying about that. I do think it still makes sense in my head.
All right. Well, you're wrong, but that's fine. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Doplex.
Yes.
If people have been listening this long, I think they enjoy the show, so they might as well subscribe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you should. Yeah, if you're listening to this on YouTube, definitely subscribe, please. For the love of God, please subscribe. or you can tune in to these episodes live at discord.t1podcast.com. And if you're feeling generous, you can also support us. Lars.
Yes.
Hey, how would they do that?
They would go to patreon.com/T1podcast, get bonus episodes of the show, early listening privileges, patron-only chat, a funny role on the Discord, and more.
A Kool-Aid jammer.
Guys, there's almost 20 episodes of premium content, of podcast episodes that only the patrons have ever been able to hear.
Really
and
good
some,
stuff.
Some of them are very interesting derivations from the show. Like we do very different things on those episodes sometimes. Sometimes we just let down our hair and we talk about things. Other times we try different podcast formats. Other times we quiz each other. Other times we try to interview each other. And it's just a heckin' good time. Patreon.com/T1podcast. Doplex, are you able to take us out with song?
Sure. Hold on, let me grab my keyboard here. You're gonna have to cut out this, or you could leave it in. Me.
Yeah.
I heard is someone playing Breath of the Wild in the background? I heard the Brennerman sound.
No, that's my Twitter DM sound.
Oh.
I forgot to turn it off.
Oh, no worries.
Sorry.
No worries. I thought that's what it was. I know, I was just genuinely curious.
Yeah.
All right, give me a topic for our outro song here.
Okay, do make it family friendly and make it about the joys of Breath of the Wild.
Okay. You smell that? That's my breath of the wild. I'm climbing this mountain. Getting hungry. Better pull out my dubious food. You smell that? That's the breath of the wild. You smell that, Lars?
I do.
That's the breath of the wild.
Yeah.
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 I got a keyboard to learn how to play it, but now it's just it's only used for sound effects.
That's pretty cool.
This one has an O sound, and a yeah sound, and a satisfaction sound. Wait, that's not it. That's not it. Wait.
Was that part of the sound experience? Was that what that was?
Yeah, yeah. It's an orchestra of various
Come on, everybody.
Sounds.